This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is blogger and cookbook author Deb Perlman. Her newest title is Smitten Kitchen Every Day, Triumphant and Unfussy New Favorites. It's easily the most beautiful cookbook I've seen in a long time. And that's true from the words and pictures to the quality of the paper.
Thank you so much. You can thank my publishers for the quality of the paper. I just take the pictures.
Welcome to our program. How's the family?
They're good. They're back home in New York, and they're keeping busy.
How are they managing at the kitchen table without you?
Well, I got the report right before I came here that they're eating meatballs that I made on Sunday. They're finishing them, and then they're going to finish up the lentil soup I also made that night. So they're doing well. I like it when they eat my food. Otherwise, my mother-in-law actually stays with us when I'm gone, so they're extra spoiled. I'm not even sure they miss me. She's so fun.
What was happening in your life when you started writing your Smitten Kitchen blog?
You know, I was a bunch of years out of school, and I didn't really like my job. I didn't really like the career I'd chosen. I just started wondering, like, is this it? Is this all there's going to be? All right, I can do this for another one. It was like counting down the years to retirement, and I just needed a hobby. I need a little break. So before I had Smitten Kitchen, I had a non-cooking blog called Smitten. So I'd just been writing for a couple years. But that was just stories. You know, back in 2003, you didn't need to have a theme or a social media strategy or SEO. You just wrote whatever. So I was just writing whatever. And then I really wanted to segue into food in 2006. And that's when I started the Smitten Kitchen blog.
And you call it Smitten because that's what it was before.
I do. I always liked the duality of it. It's not perfect, but I always like the smiting and also the soft lovey effect. I like things with both sides to it. I think people tend to glom onto the warmer qualities, but I like that it has a little edge to it, too.
It does. The first sentence in your new cookbook is, "This isn't the cookbook I had expected to write." What did you expect to write?
You know, it was really tough because life has gotten a lot busier with two little kids in the last 5 years. We had one last time, but it was somehow easier with just one. It's like just you and your little buddy who hangs out with you. But with two kids, all of a sudden, you know, cooking was this thing that really needed to be done regularly and on time. And there was like a real, you know, you had this audience of people who were very loud if they weren't fed on time. And I assumed it was time to write an everyday cookbook. But what I saw out there didn't inspire me. I kind of thought I would have to do like 10 ingredient dishes or 20 minute meals or like one of these constraints, and it didn't really inspire me at all. So I just ended up not writing the book. I kind of dragged my feet for a couple years until I found an angle that I wanted to come in on, which for me was this idea of not chef every day and not, you know, rush you out of the kitchen cooking, but the kind of cooking you might do if you enjoy cooking and you might unwind in the kitchen, but you don't have all the time in the world. You just want some food that inspires you. It doesn't fit as pithily, you know, in a subtitle, but that was really what I was going for.
So many of your recipes are fun.
I hope so. I found that was something kind of missing. As soon as you start calling cooking drudgery, just like one more thing you have to do, we all have days full of things that we have to do. Why does cooking have to be another thing? Why can't it be food that you're excited about? Why can't it be the highlight of your day, or at least a fun distraction from the news and the noise? And so I when bringing things to the table, especially with picky little kids, I found sometimes just switching the order of things around, you know, maybe making the unhealthy side dish, you know, or, you know, something unhealthy that you don't eat that often and making it sort of the main thing, finding a way to turn it into brunch and adding vegetables to it, or taking a big pot of, you know, seasoned beans and everybody can kind of dip into them with tortilla chips and other fixings and just ways to make food a little bit more, you know, more fun, more interesting. I get inspired when I see it at restaurants, too.
As a cookbook creator, and I'm thinking about your two little kids, what's your working day like? Do you cook every day?
I cook a lot of days. I probably don't cook every day. It really depends. You know, obviously there's variety in every schedule. I would say for the most part, the morning is, you know, getting the kids off to their schools and then good day, I'll go to the gym, get a cup of coffee, and then I usually hit the grocery store, because this is New York City, and you can just kind of go to the grocery store in the corner and get what you need. And from that point, I tend to use the rest of the morning to do any writing or editing that I need to do. I tend to be the most focused in front of the computer, articulate in the morning, and then in the afternoon, I usually get to cooking, which takes us to about dinner time when the noisemakers return and need food. It's not a perfect system. If everything goes well, I've spent some time before I went to bed the night before planning exactly what I wanted to cook for the next day and at least writing up a grocery list so I can hit it right in the morning.
Was it hard to choose these particular recipes?
It was a little bit, trying to find things. I mean, not that I didn't have enough things that we like to cook, but one of the things with the cookbook is just finding the right balance of ingredients. You know, maybe we had pasta three times in a week. We don't want pasta three times in a book. But for the most part, no, I felt like I had more stuff to put in the book than I had time or space to put in the book. It was mostly just trying to choose which things seemed to work the most editorially, which is something you don't have to do on a website. You can have a website, you know, my website is 12 years old, and you can go talk about the same ingredient 4 weeks in a row if you want to. We don't usually, but with a book, you really want it to kind of work beginning to end. So there's a little bit more editing there.
So that's reminding me that you have a lot of vegan and vegetarian recipes. Intentional?
It is. Well, I mean, I am neither vegan nor vegetarian. I was vegetarian for a long time, but I like the way it shifted the way I think about food. I've always considered meat kind of a side dish, and although I eat it and I love a hamburger once in a while, I feel like it gave me a central focus on vegetables and legumes, which I hope can be helpful for other people who are trying to figure out how to shift their diets accordingly. With the vegan thing, I'm definitely not. I love dairy and I love eggs. But as I became more aware of friends and their special diets, I started, and I do this with gluten as well, is just paying attention when a recipe just has 2 tablespoons of cream in it, you know, and it totally takes it out of one category. Figure out whether it's optional, or, you know, I had fun testing these coconut cookies and finding that they actually worked as well with coconut oil as they do with butter, and now they're fully vegan. So just kind of being aware of where you lose people and seeing how important that place is.
Do you have a favorite recipe?
You know what I mean? So I didn't have a lot of, you know, how to turn a can of tomato into tomato sauce. Like I didn't really have a way to do it. So I would pick up a recipe and I would start making it, and I was usually not happy with it because I'm kind of picky. And so I started playing around and then picking up things in other places. And as I came up with a version that I loved, that's when I wanted to tell everybody about it. I don't want anybody to make it anyway. I want you to make it this way.
How many recipes are in that book?
There are, good question, I think there's 115 in this book, and there are 1,200 on my site. Just crazy. I don't know how that happens.
Which is where I found your chocolate olive oil cake?
It is. It started there. Just because I've worked on it since, I mean, it probably would have been great for the book, but I worked on it after the book was done, when it was at the printers.
What's next in the world of the Smitten Kitchen?
Home, holidays. I'd like to keep doing what I'm doing. I still enjoy it quite a bit. I like having a website. I have so many more recipes. I probably have 1,600 ideas for recipes that I haven't even gotten to. I don't know that they're all good or worthwhile, but I definitely have at least 5 things I'd like to cook before the end of the year. So I'm not out of ideas. I do run out of time. So I'd like to get home and get back to the routine of cooking again and just see what comes up.
See what comes up.
I like to stay unbusy enough. If something good comes up, I can say yes and not to be too constrained to one idea of what I'm supposed to be doing. But for the most part, I rather like what I'm doing.
Well, thank you. My guest is Deb Perlman, author of Smitten Kitchen Every Day, published by Knopf. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.